We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My personality was to blame.
Call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
And by the way, Andy Reid is the freaking man.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
And then, of course, I don't know about you, Phil, but no, I do know about you, Phil. You'd have a huge chip on your shoulder, just like I think Sam Darnold should have.
Boomer Esiason with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Absolutely thrilled Boomer Esiason agreed to be back with us on Bears Mondays throughout the football season. It'll normally be 4 o'clock. We're doing 5 o'clock today. He is on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Happy New Year, Boom. How you doing?
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys. And I appreciate the freshening up of the introduction there at the end. That was very nice. And I look forward to spending hopefully it won't be that long of a year, but if they play the way that they did last night, it could be a pretty long year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's very few people, if any, I'd like to talk about this more with you, and we haven't had a chance to talk a bunch this offseason. What do you think of how the Bears are handling both Justin Fields in the lead-up to last night and how they deployed him last night?
All right, so here's the deal. First and foremost, I love the fact that they traded up to get Justin. That was a great move in its own right, and I want to give them credit for that because that's the right thing to do. Only they know internally how much Justin knows of the offense. I know that he's the new toy in town. Everybody wants to see him. I want to see him. But we don't know what he is incapable of doing on the field from understanding everything about the offense. And what I mean is it's pass protections, it's run checks at the line of scrimmage, it's reading defenses, it's not throwing the ball up arbitrarily into, triple coverage, whatever it may be. Now, saying that, Andy's going to make some mistakes too. And we also don't know the discussions that they had with Andy before they signed a contract with him. They may have said to him, look, you're going to be our starter. We may be looking at somebody in the draft, and who knows? We'll see what happens. And maybe they had their eyes on Mac Jones. You never know. But maybe they had a deal with Andy. Maybe Andy had a deal to go somewhere else. And, maybe they told him, look, you're going to be our starter unless we bring somebody young in here. And if that guy's ready to play, we have to, turn it over to him. But if he's not ready to play, then, you're going to be the guy. And I think Andy's the perfect guy for Justin because here's the one thing I know about Andy Dalton for all those years in Cincinnati. He was a preparer. He was a guy that was a tape room junkie. He was a guy who was a consummate professional. I'm sure Bears fans don't want to hear that. What they want to see is they want to see their new kid out on the field. But if that new kid does not really know everything that he's supposed to know, he could get hurt. And I'm telling you, I saw that yesterday from both Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. And those guys are going to be terrific players, you can tell. But they also took some just brutal shots that they will never take once they figure all of this out. And those two teams are committed to those guys because they realize that they're not going to be competitive this year. They're not trying to make the playoffs. The Bears came off the playoffs. They got Khalil Mack. They supposedly have a defense that's a top 10 defense in the NFL, although it may not have shown itself that way last night because I thought there was man, there's got to be major miscommunication in the secondary. There were some blown coverages that, you know, you just shake your head at and you wonder, what is a defense doing? Maybe a new defensive coordinator is the reason for that. So I'm all excited to see Justin, too, when Justin's ready. And Matt Nagy and the coaching staff and the players will know when Justin's ready. And Justin probably, you know, is maybe in his heart wants to play, but maybe he's not sure if he's ready yet either. So if you're going to deploy him a little bit here, a little bit there, then I think that's safe and you kind of get him in the mix and he kind of feels what a real game is like. And then maybe by week 5 or 6, you know, if things aren't going well offensively, then he takes over and then the year is his and then he's got to develop for next year.
There's a lot of stuff there. Great stuff from Boomer Esiason here on Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. So if we grant the first part of what you said there, Boom, that Justin Fields probably doesn't know the full offense and doesn't know everything he needs to know, if you think you're a possible playoff team, which the Bears clearly do, you mentioned Khalil Mack and these other guys that they have, is the right move by a head coach to wait until Justin Fields knows everything for his offense or to tweak the system a little bit and get Fields in there because he gives them a better chance to win than Andy Dalton, even if it's not quite the full bloom of the offensive system that Matt Nagy wants to run eventually?
You know, all young quarterbacks basically run around and try to make plays. That's how they protect themselves. And all these kids are all great athletes. I mean, this is what Josh Allen did his first year in Buffalo. I mean, he was running all over the place, diving around, leaping guys. I mean, crazy stuff. And you knew that he had the will to want to be great, but we also knew that Buffalo at that time under Sean McDermott was trying to build to where I believe they are now, even though they lost yesterday to Pittsburgh. You just don't want to put a kid out there that – for two reasons. One, and the most important reason, is you want to make sure that he's not going to put himself in danger and hurt himself. I'm telling you, there were about four times yesterday watching Zach Wilson with the Jets where he got ear-holed and he had no idea it was coming because he didn't know what he was looking at. And they're throwing him in the fire because they believe that he can handle it and he wants to be challenged. And I'm sure Justin feels the same way. But the Jets have made a commitment because they're not a playoff team. They are starting over with a new coach. This is a coach now in Matt Nagy that needs to save his job. And the only way he can save his job is if he wins. So he's trying to do what he thinks is in his best interest to win the games right now early in the season. And, you know, look, they started against one of the best teams in the conference. And everybody knows they're one of the best teams in the conference. And certainly Matthew Stafford showed why the Rams wanted him and why Sean McVay wanted him. So I'm not going to make too much out of yesterday's game. That was a difficult game. It was a bad interception by Andy in the beginning. But, you know, for me, it's like they needed to win the game 21-20 yesterday. And if the defense is going to give up huge plays like they did, this offense is incapable of scoring that many points, no matter who's playing quarterback. So I just think it's really a matter of safety right now. And then the second part of that is to make sure that you're not hurting the other players that are on the field. You know, the other players on the field get frustrated when you play with a rookie quarterback because sometimes they get the wrong formation, sometimes they get the wrong check, sometimes they're calling a play that doesn't match the personnel, and it gets crazed for the veterans who want numbers because they want contracts. So I would just say Matt Nagy right now feels to me like he's playing it safe and he's going to play with Andy Dalton as long as Andy, you know, gives him what he feels, believe it or not, is the best chance to win this early in the season.
Boomer, when you talk about what happened with Zach Wilson yesterday and the ear hole shots and all of that, that obviously can be a problem, right? You don't want a guy to suffer a catastrophic injury. It happened to Joe Burrow and he came back and had an amazing game yesterday. He only had 10 starts last year. They played him right away. But I understand safety would be paramount if he can't recognize the checks or where the blitz is coming or all of that. But we've heard a lot of people defend how the Bears have handled it by saying, like, you know, you can learn bad habits or damage could be done or they could lose their confidence. And I don't have a lot of examples that I can point to. I know people point to David Carr, you know, as a guy who got sacked a bunch early, but I don't know if he would have sat and not gotten sacked if he would have been great. Like, to me, if you're going to be great, as long as you don't get devastated by injury, eventually you can play your way into being great. So outside of injury, is there developmental damage that can be done to these prospects? Like, would Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence be better suited long term if they were sitting as opposed to playing for, you know, the mental side of the game, not necessarily the physical side?
You know, just 3 years ago, there was a debate as to whether guys like, you know, You know, Sam Darnold should have gone number one, or Baker Mayfield should have gone number one, or, you know, or Josh Allen for that matter, or Josh Rosen. And you just never know how a guy is going to adapt to the situation he's in. Josh Rosen went to Arizona. They had a new coach, Steve Wilkes, I think his name was. They fired him after 1 year, and Josh Rosen was gone. Sam Darnold went through two coaches, two general managers. It was a freaking mess. They ruined the poor kid, and they gave him the starting job when he was 20 years old. So I can give you plenty of opportunities and opportunities were given and opportunities fell flat in their face simply because the stability wasn't there. And I do, you have to remember that Matt Nagy is trying to save his job. He wants to stay there. He wants to win. And he owes it to everybody on the defense that, you know, did not play well last night, the veterans that are on that defense. That will play better this week, I guarantee you. And they're not going to make the same amount of mistakes. But, you know, he owes it to those guys to put the quarterback out there that knows what he's doing, that can manage a football game at an NFL level. And look, they're not going to score like 35 points a game. That's just not what this offense is. This offense is a 20 to 28 point scoring game right now, per game type of team. They're a run-first offense, play-action pass, that type of thing. They got to try to keep the quarterback upright. And last night, you know, you're playing against one of the best defensive lines in football, so, you know, they're trying to get the ball out quick. You know, everything that I would have done if I were a coach, I would have never put Justin Fields on that field last night against that defense. I mean, you know, all I need is Aaron Donald to steamroll somebody and just absolutely drive him into the ground and pile drive him. Now, maybe he would get up like Zach Wilson got up. Maybe he wouldn't get up. But, you know, guys like Carson Palmer sat for an entire year. Patrick Mahomes sat for an entire year. Everybody and every situation is different. There is no perfect way to handle this. And only the guys internally truly know whether or not the quarterback understands every aspect of the offense. And when he does, believe you me, he will play. It's just a matter of time before he does. And I think that we're going to have to go through the next 2 to 4 to 6 weeks. If Andy wants to continue to play, they're going to have to win, and he's going to have to put up numbers, or there's just going to be too much pressure, and Justin Fields will end up seeing the field.
And last night, Boomer, on the Bears' defense, you mentioned the big chunk plays they gave up. Eddie Jackson had a horrific night. He had an awful, awful year last year. And the feeling here is a scary one because you find ourselves wondering if this guy got paid, and then we have seen a decrease in effort, a decrease in willing physicality. That's what it has seemed like on the field. Have you had players like that, either in locker rooms you were in or teams you have covered, where you have seen guys get paid and then stop being willing to put themselves into harm's way?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm not going to agree with that because I didn't see Eddie up close. I haven't looked at the full tape, and I would have to go back and look and see if he's turning down tackles or just blown assignments. I mean, I've seen guys on an NFL field turn down tackles. There's no question about that. You know, we used to refer to it as a business decision. You know, it's kind of funny, especially late in the year, if a team is, you know, out of the playoff hunt and guys are going into free agency, or it's the last two games of the year and there's really nothing to play for. I'll never forget in 87, we were, you know, I think we had 3 or 4 wins going into the last season. That was the strike season. And Sam Weiss stood up in front of us and said, "Now, guys, I want you guys to treat this like a playoff game, and I want you to think that it's a playoff game and we're getting ready for the playoffs." And one of my teammates raised his hand and said, "Are you going to pay us like it's the playoffs?" You know, and the answer was obviously no. So the reality is here we are in week one, and if that's the reputation that he is gaining, I feel bad for him. I can't confirm that, but I have seen players late in game in seasons, and certainly in seasons that have gone awry, and even in my own case in 19, I think it was 95, my last year at the Jets, I mean, I took a bad concussion, missed, I think, 4 or 5 games, came back, and then those last few games that I played, I was just thinking about protecting myself because I was out there with a collection of guys that had no idea what they were doing, directly attributed to the coaching staff. So I don't know if Eddie's doing that now. I hope not. That's not a reputation thing that you want to have on your resume. And let's just hope that that's not the case. And that's, you know, people are saying that because they either don't like him or he blew some, you know, coverages last night. And hopefully that is not going to, you know, carry through the rest of the year because that would really be a shame.
Boomer, you mentioned Matt Nagy coaching for his job and he needs wins in order to save his job. The perception around here around the draft was that Justin Fields was a Matt Nagy pick more so than it was a Ryan Pace pick. Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, and Matt Nagy go way back. Matt Nagy wasn't here when Mitch Trubisky was drafted, so he inherited him, and so this was like his guy at quarterback. So I've been operating that they actually do have a little bit of job security, and if the Bears are a six-win team this year, but Justin Fields looks like, I've been using Justin Herbert, a guy who didn't start early but then came in and played very well, and I know he won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Fields very likely will not do that because of all the other quarterbacks he's competing with, but if Fields looks good but the Bears have a losing record and he looks good under Matt Nagy, I would think that's enough for Matt Nagy. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree, and I hope that would be the case. But then again, you would think that Anthony Lynn would have been under that, you know, situation last year in L.A., and they fired him at the end of the year, and they brought in Brandon Staley. So you never know. I know the McCaskies kind of run the team like the Pittsburgh Steelers run their team and the Cincinnati Bengals run their – you know, it's family-owned, and they're not prone to overreaction. They do have a level – of comfort and I think cautiousness when it comes to firing and hiring people. At least that's the sense that I get. But if it is the way that you say it is, Danny, then I got to believe that, you know, Matt will end up playing Justin Fields eventually, but when Justin Fields is ready to play, because he doesn't want Justin Fields to look bad on the field either. He wants to make sure. I mean, I saw him in preseason. There were times where you're like, holy God, he can play. And then there are times like, oh, my God, he's going to get killed. So we want to get that, oh, my God, he's going to get killed off the playbook. And we want to see him practicing every day in practice, growing with a greater understanding of every ounce of responsibility that a quarterback has.
And then you play him?
Get it a little bit earlier.
Would you play him now you're the guy, or these sporadic plays things that he's been doing?
Well, you know, they're kind of doing that out in San Francisco with Trey Lance. I think, you know, the sporadic play thing is just to get him a sense of the speed on the field, you know, which is not a bad thing. I know that's not what they did in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They finally let him start the last game of the year, but Alex Smith was taking them to the playoffs. And Patrick was drafted because Alex could only get them so far, and Patrick was going to get them to the next level, and we all know what Patrick has become and how he has gotten the Kansas City Chiefs to the next level. And you hope that that's who Justin Fields turns into. But I'm telling you, if you quiz Justin Fields on a Friday and you ask him all the different questions that pertain to that Sunday's game or that Monday's game or that Thursday's game, and he only gets 60% of the answers right on paper, you know, you're really worried about putting him on the field because you don't want him to get hurt, Danny. I'm just telling you, there's so many things that go on in these games that, you know, these kids are just not ready for. And Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson saw it yesterday. And Zach Wilson said right after the game, I felt like I got hit by a Mack truck. He has never been hit that hard and that many times. And the Jets, I think, are taking a real chance because they have no backup to speak of whatsoever. They are putting it basically all on Zach Wilson, and they want him to become, you know, their next Joe Namath, and that's great. But I also know, boy, I'll tell you, after watching that game yesterday, it's unsettling to watch some of the hits that these kids take.
Hmm. Hey, Boomer, what do you make of the Green Bay side of that Saints dominant win there? I think we all expected some awkwardness and disconnection for Rodgers and the Packers, but we expected production. Was that overconfidence? What was that yesterday?
It was weird is what it was, man. And Aaron Rodgers after the game was weird. I mean, just awkward. Weird. And you know, I think Matt LaFleur was right. We got embarrassed today, guys. And, you know, Aaron didn't want to agree with that word or, you know, I don't know what Aaron's doing half the time. I love Aaron Rodgers, but I just, it's maddening to me. And I know my son happens to be a huge Packers fan. And I sent him a text yesterday from the NFL Today. And I said, nice effort. He goes, and he gave me that, you know, that emoji back where you're rolling your eyes. And I know what he's rolling his eyes at. He's rolling his eyes at Aaron. Like, you're the leader. What are you doing? And I just don't know whether or not he's going to snap out of it. Now, he's basically told, you know, fans before to relax, and maybe we don't want to overthink things here. But, I mean, that looked listless. His post-game press conference was weird and awkward. His whole offseason has been weird and awkward. You know, he supposedly found himself. He's got inner peace. I'm happy for all that stuff, but I want touchdown passes, and I want him to lead them back to the Super Bowl. Hell, I picked him to go to the Super Bowl this year, so – you know, let's get our asses in gear and let's get going, boys.
Yeah, I picked him, too. I mean, screws inner peace. I need to win my bets, Boomer.
Hey, inner peace is good. It's important, guys.
Yeah, not on Sundays. Right. Keep your inner peace or your hippie
inner
communes.
Peace on Sundays. I need touchdown passes. That's what I need.
Amen. Bears' next game is against the Bengals, your old franchise. I'm blown away by Joe Burrow. I think the guy is incredible. And that was an impressive win against the Vikings as an underdog. Earliest read of Bears-Bengals from Boomer Esiason.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a big game for Andy Dalton. You know, I think Andy Dalton will have, you know, the chip on the shoulder that all of us have had going against our ex-teams when we had the opportunity to do that. And, you know, Andy is smart enough to know he's been around a long time. He's, you know, he's a professional, like I told you. And he's going to want to outperform Joe Burrow. I'm not really sure that they're how good they are. I think, you know, I thought they were a 6 or 7 win team. You know, Joe is a terrific young player. Ja'Marr Chase finally caught every ball that was thrown to him as opposed to dropping him like he has been doing in preseason. But, you know, they got 3 wide receivers that are pretty damn good. That T. Higgins is pretty damn good. So offensively, they're loaded, and Joe Mixon is a hell of a running back. Their offensive line is, I would say, middling of the league, but Joe is a special player. There is no question about it, and he could go off. So I would hope that the Bears defense is looking at videotape and recognizing what they did wrong last night because, you know, if you think last night was a track meet, this could be a track meet this weekend again, and you don't want that kind of game if you are the Bears.
Boomer, great stuff. Thanks for being a part of the show again this year. We will talk to you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Have a great week. See you, boys.
Thanks,
thank you,
Boomer.
That's Boomer Esiason. I mean, that was the clearest laying out of a defense of how the Bears are handling this.
From a really good quarterback, a great analyst, who I know you think highly of.
Does it
make an impact our boy?
Well, a little, and I'll tell you what part of it. Like, first of all, I know people are like, oh, he didn't watch the game. We would not have him on if he doesn't watch the game. And that was a national TV game last night, so he 100% watched the game. But they sit at NFL Today on CBS and have every game on, and Boomer knows that he comes on in Chicago. I never once have felt like, man, he didn't even watch the Bears game yesterday.
What did he say that made people
I don't know. I just saw some people on Twitch questioning.
That didn't register me that way.
He's locked in. All of the caveats that he was giving on Fields of like why this is the way to do it, and he went to put him on the field last night. Even if I disagree, he's still there as saying, you know, week 4, week 6.
Right.
Like, it's not that long. And, you know, he is active in this game. So Dalton was one sprained shoulder away from Fields being out there for the rest of the game. Nick Foles was inactive. So it's the type of thing where I look at it and I say, I think that Justin Fields is going to play sooner than later, but him saying, like, because I didn't watch every play of that Jets-Panthers game.
Him saying that Zach Wilson took shots that put him in danger,
yeah,
and he thinks the Jets are doing risky things.
And part of that is simple awareness of where the pass rush is coming from and all of that, and that's dangerous. Obviously, you don't want to get the kid hurt, but you don't want to get Andy Dalton hurt either. But in theory, Dalton knows more about it and can protect himself, and that's why he gets rid of the ball so quickly. That was as good of a job at outlining it as possible, but where him and I guess, disagree is I don't think Matt Nagy needs to win to save his job.
Well,
I think he needs Justin Fields to be good to save his job, and the Bears' defense sucks, so they're not going to win anyway.
I think when Boomer said that, he doesn't realize that. I agree. I think Boomer doesn't realize that part. I think he's a little out of the loop in terms of the security and the safety that Nagy and Pace, I believe, do have with the folks upstairs.
I'm just talking about in terms of watching the games. He watches the games.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, see, that's the thing. Because he ends up at the same place where Lewis Riddick ends up, and Lewis Riddick, close to Nagy as we know, saying that Matt is genuinely thinking about what is best for the quarterback. Genuinely thinking about the guy in Justin Fields, and genuinely thinking, I want to put him out there when he's ready. I really do. I don't want to put him out there when he's going to get himself hurt or when he's going to possibly develop bad habits, yada, yada. They continue to say that Matt Nagy is dealing with this from an honorable perspective, and that would be assuming that he's got a couple years, that he's not worried about his own skin in that regard.
And I don't think he is. And the Anthony Lynn example, to me, isn't a great one. And I didn't want to start getting bogged down even more with the Chargers than I already bring them up.
Because he had nothing to do with the offense and Justin Herbert's success.
Yeah.
Right?
And
a defensive guy.
And an awful game management coach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they lost so many one-possession games last year that keeping Anthony Lynn when he seemed completely overwhelmed by that part of the job, like, he's not going to get another head coaching job. It's just not going to happen. So he seemed totally overwhelmed by that. Now, I know there's a lot of Bears fans out there being like, Matt Nagy seems totally overwhelmed by it. But
in a different way.
In a different way.
So I guess Texas is saying about the Eddie Jackson thing that that's what made it seem like Boomer didn't watch the game. No way. Boomer just didn't want to call out a guy the way that I was hinting that we're calling out Eddie Jackson.
Right.
He doesn't want to do that, having not watched it closely enough and dissected things.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think the Boomer, the defense of Justin Fields will play when he can protect himself, but he's like, so maybe week 4 or week 6, that suggests that whatever learning curve needs to exist here is not something that is going to take an entire season for a quarterback. And he thinks he will get out there sooner than later. So even when I disagree with him, I think that guy is as good at talking football as anyone who does it.
I think it's great when we disagree with him. That's why he's here.
Yeah.
Get his perspective.
Very good stuff from Boomer Esiason. The reality of what that Bears defense showed last night and what it means going forward. Next on The Score.
No, it definitely doesn't sit well. We know that's not our style, so we know we have to come in this week. We all have to look ourselves in the mirror, and we just have to get better from it because that's not the standard. And, you know, we got to keep the standard the standard.
Keep the standard the standard.
The standard is the standard, right?
Yeah. Who said that?
I forget. It wasn't Roquan.
Mike Tomlin.
The standard is the standard. Roquan channeling Mike Tomlin.
Thank you, Tanny.
The Bears defense.
Not good.
Allowed 10 plays that went for 14 yards or more. The Bears had 2 plays that went for 14 yards or more in a league that is really based on explosive plays. You know, make explosive plays on offense, stop explosive plays on defense. The Bears were the polar opposite of that.
As long as there are 5 touchdowns total in tonight's game, it will be more than there were in last year's week 1 for total touchdowns in week 1, which set an NFL record, and last year set an NFL record for points. So if I was doing like an SAT analogy, like baseball, like strikeouts are to baseball as points are to football.
Totally remember baseball.
Yeah, but it's just...
Someone said baseball?
I know, man. I heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, well, then...
I heard it right
there.
Sorry.
I was just trying to explain my football point to speak.
Lior Garcia with that big-time walk-off. That was fun, huh?
They call him legend.
This segment is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Bottom of the hour also brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
See, the San Francisco Bryants, who swept the Cubs yesterday. See, Chris posted a video of his own on his social media channels yesterday after the Love Fest all weekend long up there at Wrigley. Sorry, Danny.
What are you going to do about this strikeouts? Defense? No, what I'm saying is... So the defense is so bad.
Yeah.
Right? And Boomer said, probably it'll be better, but it could be a shootout again. Bengals, good quarterback, good running back, 3 good wide receivers.
I think they're going to – see, this is the thing. They're probably going to end up in a shootout with 90% of the teams in the NFL.
That was the question. Is week 1 is about overreactions, right? It's overreaction Monday in the NFL. The Rams are supposed to be awesome. They're one of the 3 favorites in the NFC, right? For most people, it went Tampa, Green Bay, the Rams, Seattle, like in terms of San Francisco, the NFC West powerhouses. NFC West, by the way, 4-0. NFC North, 0-4.
Number 1 defense in terms of scoring and yardage, and now an offense with Sean McVay's mind mixed with Matthew Stafford's arm.
Correct. Matt Stafford's first game ever with Sean McVay had the best passer rating of his entire career. So... is the Bears' defense as bad as it showed last night? Probably not. But is the Bears' defense bad? I think the answer is yes. Like right now, if you had to say, will the Bears' defense finish top half of the NFL?
No way. I say bottom half. Khalil Mack.
There's no path then for this Bears team to be good if they have a bottom half of the NFL defense. It doesn't exist.
I'm terrified that Khalil Mack is on the wrong side of that moment when things start to decay for you in the NFL. Eddie Jackson showed nothing last night to make us think that he's going to rebound into ball hawking form.
No one in the secondary did.
The corners are a disaster. Alec Ogletree looked decent in the run game at times, got schemed and then run by in the pass game. Of course, Akeem Hicks didn't get anywhere.
It's like they missed someone last night, someone that was a big part of what they've been doing the last few years, and he wasn't out there. A guy that would, you know, fix a lot of those bad spots and shine a lot of...
You talking about Kyle Fuller, perhaps?
I am, yeah.
Number one corner?
Oh, I thought you meant the big Coke machine in the middle, Eddie Goldman, him too. But yeah, Kyle Fuller, big deal. Big deal.
Yeah, a little bit of the edge too. Like, you know, he's got, you know, put a hat on you on occasion, something like that, you know?
But did you enjoy the 14 snaps of Jimmy Graham last night? Huh?
They were there.
How could you not?
Yeah. He was out there.
He was so close to a touchdown at one time.
He caught a ball inside the five.
Taking those snaps.
Yep.
Good. So Shane left without saying goodbye.
The Irish goodbye.
Who is he, Mitch? I was going to ask him and wish him luck about the softball game tonight. The Media League Championship, the Odyssey team that was terrible early with the double-digit errors. Shane was the GM. Now he's the GM. He's the coach. He's the all-star third baseman.
Lynn Bramer's going to be there. The manager returns tonight. We'll be there in Forest Park.
Might mess up the entire chemistry of the team. But
yeah, it's risky.
They're in the chance. Lawrence plays. Studs plays. Cody from our website plays. Shane is the all-star representative.
There was some lineup drama earlier. You know, the Skip over here was saying, "Oh, I don't know. You know, Studs has been leading off all year, but I don't know if I can put him there tonight." I was like, "Come on, man!
He's shaking it up for the championship game."
No, I said no. I told him, "Do not shake it up."
I do have a lineup here. I do have the lineup.
Is it on the Twitter page?
I'm doing play by play for the game tonight, so I do have the official lineup. I also have the lineup for the reader team. But yeah, Cody Westerlin in the 5-hole tonight. I can report Lawrence is in the 7-hole and the Rover. He thought he was going to be hitting 6th earlier in transition, and Studs is hitting leadoff at 1.
Okay, I just.
Studs is like the TA of that team, right? Just he's the straw that stirs a drink there.
Scrappy,
we all know it.
Yeah,
you know? He's the energy.
He's got an edge to him though. Sometimes unnecessarily, kind of an Adam Eaton level dude.
So now that Shane's gone and he hasn't gotten to his car yet, and even when he gets to his car, he'll probably be listening to music and not the show because he turns the show off.
Lots of Casey Musgraves.
He's got to get into the right headspace and all that. Are we rooting for him to win or lose?
Whoa.
Ooh, Danny.
It's not just him, man.
I'm just saying.
This is our company.
I rewrite the question.
First, it's the Bears.
Yes.
That he roots against in order to get quarterback change. Now he's openly questioning whether he or we are going to root for Odyssey.
The content.
This is an Odyssey station.
I've heard that.
Famously so, yes.
I've heard it's an Odyssey.
This is an Odyssey station.
All right, you company shill. I'm not talking about shorting the stock. I'm talking about the All-Star or the media game.
I just want the app to work.
Okay. My question is,
What
is better for content if they win and Shane talks about this like he's Mike Schmidt mixed with Pete Rose, mixed with, you know, Joe Torre?
Sure.
Or that they lose and he's really angry.
Let me ask it this way. What has been better for White Sox content this year? The fact that they lost that playoff series last year, or if they had won the whole thing? You know what I mean? It's better to
it's
be
not
hungry.
The same.
It's better to be hungry. I think Shane hungry between now and next year, technically from a content perspective, if that's what you're rooting for.
I always am rooting for content.
It's gross.
Yeah, I'm rooting for
the
content.
The worst kind of 16-inch softball fan there is.
All right, so Tanny, you're firmly on board with rooting for them to win.
Yeah, you know why?
So am I.
Yeah, that's bad energy. Why would I do that? Plus, maybe they win and then they stop playing everyone and they disband the league and we don't have to hear about it ever.
Oh, that would go out a champion.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. I'm on board with that. But can we at least agree that we're rooting for Shane to have a couple strikeouts?
Oh, no.
What?
No, what do you
content?
You are so.
I want him to be angry.
I want him to be angry.
Spoiler alert, he will be angry no matter what.
I'll find a way.
That's a good point.
I'll find a way. Look, I just can't. I can't make that shift. I can't root against Odyssey. It's my meatball time to watch softball games on the couch. Let the meatball out.
Will you promise to share the link to your broadcast tonight of the Odyssey softball game so people can listen to the call?
I will.
Facebook stream.
It's going
right?
to be on Facebook Live. That's right. I mean, that's where the best baseball play-by-play goes.
I'll be busy living my life and watching Monday Night Football.
I don't often request guys at night to, you know, grab highlights for me, but I said, can you grab this softball? Final call here, at least the final call.
Need at least the final call.
So we have someone rolling on the broadcast?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, he left before I could coordinate whether or not it was going to go down, but yeah.
Okay.
I learned some stuff here, and Shane gave me a little bio information on everybody on the Odyssey team. Congratulations to Cody Westerlund on his engagement. Somehow I missed that.
What?
Really?
He's recently engaged is what it says.
Congratulations.
That's what it says right there.
Oh, man.
I didn't know that was the case.
Maybe he's proposing tonight like the Florida State guy against Jacksonville Shane
let the cat out of the bag in a bio for the Odyssey lineup.
What if he ruined the proposal?
Or what if Shane's just lying so I say that he's recently engaged?
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Like errors in the game notes?
Yeah.
That'd be a great prank.
I can't believe that you're rooting against Odyssey.
I'm just asking the question. I'm not even necessarily saying.
What kind of fan are you?
What's the line? Who's favored?
The reader is favored. The reader
Really?
Is favored. Yeah, they're the home team.
Oh, I'll take the dog then. I'll take Odyssey as an underdog, a scrappy underdog. I thought we were the behemoth. I thought that we were the big.
Oh no, Danny just mushed Odyssey.
I'm weighing the point, or I'm taking Odyssey on the money line.
He's gonna look good in that Odyssey number 18 jersey.
That's right.
Really is.
I need another jersey. Speaking of the game tonight, there is a fascinating broadcast innovation happening in the old football stratosphere. It's next on The Score.
Are you ready for some football?
Ravens and Raiders tonight on Monday Night Football. But I think I'm going to spend some time on ESPN2 with Eli and Peyton Manning having a conversation over the game. They've booked, Charles Barkley and Russell Wilson, and there will be some other guests joining them as well.
Yep.
Peyton Manning is the white whale. He's the guy that everyone tries to get to become a broadcaster. And this is how they got him. Sit on your couch, do it from home, do it with your brother, no play-by-play guy, do any games you want. They're doing 10 Monday night games, alternate broadcast this
with
year.
No official host, just, Peyton with craps and giggles.
We're talking about our idiot kicker.
Speaking of broadcast white whales or desirable quarterbacks, I don't know if we've spent enough time talking about Drew Brees' hair on this show or on this station or in this nation necessarily.
He gets the big TV deal and then all of a sudden abandons the bald brotherhood.
Yeah, it's unfortunate and unnecessary in my opinion. But that's
now they are calling him Breezes.
Yeah,
it's true.
The city renamed Drew Orleans.
He needs really long hair, which would be a bold move to go with that all the way, the true Breezes thing. You're going to spend some time with the Manning brothers and Russ?
Let
Russ cook?
It's either that or the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm busy, man. I got a ball game.
You got a play-by-play.
I'm sorry. I'm just
sorry
working.
About that. My mistake. But... Yeah, Pete Carroll was a little indignant, right, about let Russ cook? What did he...
Oh, it was the best because he made a mistake, and he said it accidentally.
Let me hear it.
Then his anger and embarrassment of the whole thing was obvious.
But really, the day to me is really goes to Shane. I think his first time out and a chance to show it, and I'm really, really proud of what he was able to do because he went for it the whole time, and we did exactly how we've been practicing and how we've been preparing, he handled it with such a cool overall mentality and all, and he and Russ were just cooking. And so, I'm sorry I said that. Can you scratch that? Doggone it. They did really well together. Shoot, that's out there. Dang it. I don't ever think I ever said that one time all that last year, whenever that was happening. Anyway, so it's a big day there for the coaches on the offensive side to put this thing together.
Just how pissed off he is that he accidentally said
he's joking.
You didn't see the face.
He's joking.
Upset. He's bothered that he said it. He has always tried to not feed it. He hates that narrative of let Russ cook. He hates that people think that Russ should be passing more because he wants to run the ball with Chris Carson. As you've been all over him for that. He's not joking. Oh. He made a point to not ever say it last year. Now he said it this year, and he's pissed off that he even said it.
I definitely think that he's old school and that he got to Russell Wilson throwing the ball a bunch insane. But Russell Wilson had 23 pass attempts against the Colts. Not anything crazy. You know why he only had 23 pass attempts? Because he had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. You don't need to throw it a lot if you get a
one out of
lead
every
like
six times the guy passed, he threw the ball into the damn end zone. You know how cool it would be to watch that? By the way, he played right away. Do you know how cool it would be?
Not only did Russ play right away, they tailored the offense to fit him because they liked their defense and they wanted to be good.
Yeah. And Texter said, hey, Parkins, isn't the point of having the offensive genius so that you don't have to have a great defense? It's not going to be a problem whether Matt Nagy's an offensive genius or not. But yeah, don't worry. You're not going to have a top 10 defense. I want the Bears, even if they are going to end up losing, I want to see. I'm jealous of the Cardinals with Kyler Murray.
Well, sure.
I'm jealous, but there, it's possible that Kyler Murray never wins a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's not necessarily going to be some sort of generational talent.
It must be fun, though.
Oh, my God. Ravens fans with Lamar Jackson. Obviously, I mean, Seahawks fans had a top five guy in a Super Bowl, Russell Wilson. But, like, yeah, just I want to try losing that way instead of we got to just grind it out and ball control and defense and the whole thing.
I'm jealous of San Francisco Giants fans. They got good starting pitchers, got a real good bullpen, can beat you with right-handers, with left-handers, a malleable lineup.
How did the, we'll hear some of it tomorrow, but how did the how'd the play-by-play go?
Good. It's good fun. Absolutely.
So you ended up doing six fifth innings.
They did six fifth innings.
Correct.
But they're all just a warm-up for tonight, for Odyssey softball, 16-inch softball Hall of Fame. You're coming out there, right? You, Steph, and
Amy! I got a thing with a guy at the place.
Oh.
So I'm not gonna sure. be able to make it out there.
Tanny, I'll see you out there, yeah, wife and child.
About that, I gotta return some videotapes.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but no,
that's
you go
low priority activity.
And you there. Are gonna be our you're gonna be our correspondent.
You don't even rent videotapes anymore. That doesn't even happen.
That's a joke, American Psycho.
Got me.
You're bringing the family. You're gonna broadcast. Yeah. You can't get away from a baseball game where you can have been invited to a broadcast.
Ruben's gonna be the bat boy. He's very excited. He's Odyssey Bat Boy, Ruben Spiegel, tonight.
If they texted you right now and said, never mind, we don't need you as the play-by-play guy for tonight, the broadcast equipment isn't working, would you still go?
No.
Okay. So you're going because of the broadcast opportunity. So it's about you. It's not even about being a good teammate.
It's about a commitment.
About Shane.
No, it's
the guy's
about a commitment.
Not even going down there early to get stories and anecdotes from the players involved to weave them in. He talks about the broadcasters traveling all year and how they missed that. He thinks the fans are stupid and they don't care.
I can
He's
do
mailing it.
It
in.
I can do it from home off the monitor. All right? That's what I'm going to do. No problem. I can do that.
Budget. I get it.
That's what it is.
You're sacrificing integrity of the broadcast.
They might clinch tonight. I'll go.
Okay. Congratulations.
Like Stone and Benetti.
Thank you to Pat Manley and Boomer Esiason. Our good friend Mark Grody, Moby Ditka, is coming up next. Connor O'Donnell runs the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, Sir Shane Reardon, our executive producer.
I believe this is going to be the first chance for Mark Grody to get thoughts out on the Bears game. He's got a ton of them, we know.
Yeah. He's going to join us Wednesday on the show. Mark Grody, Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. Good luck to the Odyssey softball team. This is The Score.
And what a moment.
You can't script the movie any better. Nobody left.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.